Hi, everybody. Welcome to Hafed's Coffee Break. I am Hafed, your host. Welcome to this episode. I'm back again with Victor. How are you, Victor?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all good. Thank you. And I'm really excited about this episode because we have a special guest today. Ada, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm all good. Thank you. It's nice to meet you and have you on our podcast. And well, we were talking about guests that we would like to come to our podcast, and your name came to the conversation, and I said, I have to get her to the podcast. Mm-hmm. Your story intrigues me and I want to know more, and I'm pretty sure our listeners too will be well blessed or will have benefits out of whatever you're gonna tell us today. And yeah, so I cannot wait to get to those interesting topics. But first I'm gonna talk about my coffee. Usually I take a coffee and I drink it and then I rate it. All right, so mm-hmm. I'm gonna give it a try to this one. And it's an espresso coffee from the virtual line. Big coffee, big mug, big amount of coffee. We can say, you know, like, so it's a Ligero Blanco, and with a little bit of milk and one spoon of sugar. So that's how I take it. Sorry, I feel the pressure when you look at me like that. So is it good? Is it good? I almost spit it out, you know? But yeah, it was really good. It's really good. I give it an 8 out of 10. So I really like this coffee. It's maybe one of my favorites right now from this virtual line coffee Nespresso released. And yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. My sister gave me a virtual line coffee machine a few weeks ago, and I started to try and, you know, those coffees, and this is one that caught my eye or my taste. You know, I was just like, I like it, and my wife too. So it's really, really interesting coffee because you can taste the chocolate really far, and you have a good coffee taste too. So I like the balance between it.
Cool.
And yeah, so at first I tried it without milk and sugar just to try the coffee as it is, mm-hmm. and then I added depending on what it is. But yeah, so I an 8 out of 10.
Nice.
So what are you drinking, Otto? I see that you have something from one of our favorite coffee shops.
Yeah, so it's a Starbucks iced drink. It's a shaken espresso with oat milk and brown sugar.
Cool.
Yeah, it was recommended by my sister. I used to get the basic iced caramel macchiato, but she swore by it and she said you should really get it. And ever since then, I've been getting it.
Cool.
I would give it an 8 too.
8? Cool. Yeah,
and it's my first coffee with oat milk, so.
Oh yeah, something. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask you. Do you regularly eat?
No.
Okay. Cool. No. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a big drinker of oat milk, mm-hmm. but I started to discover that also because my wife is trying some new recipes, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. It's interesting.
It's interesting. So yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It gives another twist to the coffee, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a bit different.
Yeah.
So, and you, Victor, what are you drinking?
Water. Good old water. Never misses water.
Hits the spot, right?
The spot right there. Okay, so for a quick question, how, mm-hmm. like in a new setting, how sociable are you? Are you the life of the party or what do you do?
Well, I'm initially shy at first. So walking in, I would observe people. I like to people watch, see how they're behaving, what their vibe is, because I wouldn't want to walk in and be like the only hyper one there. Mm-hmm. So I would just kind of assess the situation and then wiggle my way in and just be comfortable. Wouldn't want to go too crazy.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so yeah, then you start showing yourself how you
are. And like, yes.
To see if they can like accept it. Or if they're going to be like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and what about you, Victor?
Not at all. I wait for somebody to ask me something and then I'll show people who I am afterwards.
Wait,
what are you doing here?
Yeah. I'm like, if it's a general setting, I'll be like, hi, how are you? Sometimes I don't. I don't know why. I have this problem where I go into a new room or new people, I don't say hi because I'm just like, that's socially awkward.
Oh, no.
And then eventually we'll go into the...
That's crazy because after that, people get to know you and they're like, oh, it's really nice to meet mm-hmm. you and see mm-hmm. how you are. You have a really nice personality. So it's, too bad if they don't give you another try or give mm-hmm. you enough time to see it, right?
That should work.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should work on that, actually. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, cool.
How about you?
Yeah, I'm a bit like you, Ada, actually. I like to just see how it goes around, you know, and because like you said, you don't want to just like get there and show yourself as you are. And
yeah.
Like, people are going to be or scared or be like, oh, this guy is too high.
Or judgmental. Or
judgment, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to give them all that, you know.
Like, right.
Give them time to judge you. But after that, you just like, that's what I try to do. But mm-hmm. It has changed because at first I was like that. I was just like, hey, hi. And I was like, well, if you like me, you like me. If you don't, well, I don't care, you know. Mm-hmm. That's was how my mentality was at that time. But then I was like, no, I have to calm down and just like, hey, hi, okay, you know, take it slow, because I saw a lot of people just go like, okay, this guy is weird. And other people were like, oh, no, I would like to see to be more like that.
Well, you'll attract how you are being to people who are like that. Yeah,
exactly. And you don't want to be too out there, like you said, like too much, right?
So
that's how I do. But honestly, like I feel comfortable talking with anybody. Like I try to find a way to, and when it doesn't work, oh my God, it's like, I don't like it, but it's really rare. I haven't been in a situation where I can just like get to a place and then I have nothing in common with somebody, or, you know, that awkward position where you're like, so, and what about you? And then the person just doesn't go like, often teenagers do that, right? And
yeah.
Like I work with teenagers and I still manage to make them talk a bit, but and it's funny because sometimes like even the parents are like, how do you make him talk? I was like, well, I don't know, I'll talk about whatever, you know? And I try to take all the signals, you know? I try to be that person too before judging somebody, just like, okay, what does that person like? What do they do? What are their interests? And then make a connection with that. Huh?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and sometimes I have to do my homework, right? I say, okay, they talk about a game or whatever, and like, oh, I don't know about this game, and then just check it out a bit, and then I talk about the game the next class that I have with my students, and then they're like, oh, you like that game, or you know that game? Yeah, I know, and then you have a connection, you know?
Yeah.
So these are kind of things that I do to just like break the ice with some people, well, some students, and that in my case, right? But yeah, so I'm a teacher. Well, now it's obvious, right?
But,
Ada, what do you do in life? Like, if we can summarize, maybe in a sentence, how would you describe what you do?
Well, the title is I'm a radiation oncology technologist.
Okay.
And I administer radiation to cancer patients.
Great.
To kill the cancer cells, to get rid of them. Yeah.
Through radiation, right?
Yes. So, okay. Yes. That's the full-time job. And then I have a part-time job.
Okay. And what do you do in your part-time job?
Well, I've been there since I was like 16. It's been 12 years. I work at a deli at an IGA.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm still there part-time.
Oh, nice. So your student job followed you until now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
that's cool.
Yes.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And well, we'll get there. But what do you do? Well, if you, well, now you said you work in a hospital, I guess.
Yeah? Yes. Okay. Yes.
So, and how do you like that? Did you study to get there? What is the, we say in French, the cheminement, or your
trajectory?
Your trajectory. Yes. Thank you. So, what do you study to get where you're at? So what did you do to get there?
Well, it's an actual program at Dawson College.
Okay.
It's called Radiation Oncology, and it's a very specific program. So it's not like a general thing, and then you specialize in this. It's just like you're going into a specialty.
Okay,
like right off the bat. So once you get into that program, you know exactly what you're doing in 3 years.
Oh, that's cool. Because sometimes I feel like it's a waste of time having that many classes, and you don't even know where you're going.
This is like literally one job. You got one job after.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Did you always wanted to go in there, or was it you just found that thing? It was like, oh, this is pretty cool. I don't have to go to university or anything.
Well, I did social science at Vanier first because I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Right.
And then once I finished social science, I was like working, and then I was looking into things, and I was going to go to John Abbott for like dental hygienist or like pharmacy technologist. And then I did some extra classes at night at Dawson to get my grades up for those programs. And then I ended up discovering radiation oncology, and I was like, well, okay, I'm here. And then I jumped in. Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. And how long have you been doing this now since you graduated, per se?
4 years.
Four
and a half years. Yeah.
Okay. About. At the same place, like where you're at?
Yeah, at the Jewish General Hospital.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. And you you have a team, I guess, working with you. And it's
Yes. We get along very well. So that's
good.
That's cool. Job fun.
That's nice. It has to, right? Because when you're talking about like treating cancer, like it's delicate, right? So you need to like your
You can't
job
have
first.
Miserable people.
Exactly.
You cannot treating. Be sad. Yeah, yeah, no. No, you need to be uplifting. And
how do you deal with all that? Like having to deal with, well, these people that have that need going through these difficult times, right? With cancer and everything.
Yeah.
Is it something that you find hard to deal with? How do you deal with all that?
It can be mentally draining, but you have to be an empathetic person. Like going into this field of work, you need to understand that that person needs your attention more than, you know, you can give attention to yourself. So in that moment, if I have a patient in front of me, like it's all about them, their comfort, what they need. And you kind of have to become selfless, which is a trait in an empathetic person. So you have to feel what they feel, or if you don't know what they feel, you have to imagine what it could feel like and then just put yourself in their shoes.
And was it hard for you to get to that or develop that kind of empathy or being like that? Or did you have to work, or you were always kind of
I think
that
I was
persona?
Always an empathetic person. Yeah. I was always very sensitive, emotional. So I always, you know, can relate to people and their struggles and stuff like that.
Do they train you when you're doing the...
No,
they just give you like,
They interview you to get into the program. Oh, yeah, they ask you questions to see what kind of person you are. If like you're somebody who's like, I don't care, whatever. Like they're not gonna really accept you into the program. They have to really see that you care about people. You can't just go into this and just be a robot. Right. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. That's really interesting. I didn't know they were like.
Interviewing
really to it's nice because they need to have that kind of people there, so it's really cool that that they take the time to do that, right? And was there, well, I know it has to be a difficult job at times, right? But what would you say was the most difficult aspect of your job that you faced, if you can share with us, like something in particular, maybe not names, right? But but say this was really hard for me for this reason.
Like in terms of like my patients?
Yeah.
Well, it gets difficult when they want to give up and then you have to be the person to like, because it's a lot of pressure when you gotta help them find the motivation to keep fighting, because radiation tends to be like the last step in their cancer journey. You know, typically it's like surgery or chemo, then radiation or chemo, surgery, radiation. So radiation is the last step. And at that point, they're fed up. They're like, I'm tired of
trying,
you know, of trying. And then sometimes they're just really like over it. And then you got to try to
motivate them. And they get discouraged, right? They tried two things, didn't work. And then that's the last strike, if you can say it like that, right? Okay. And how did you... well, you said that they come last strike, and how do you try to lift up that kind of mentality, or try to give them a bit of hope, or trying to say, let's do this, right?
Well, I talk to them like I would talk to a friend who's going through something. I'll be like, listen, you're already here. You showed up. Here we are. Like, let's go get on the table. We're going to do what we've been doing for the past every single day you've been coming in. Why stop now? Or I would tell them how many treatments they have left. I'll be like, you're almost at the finish line. If you stop now, what was the point of all of this? And then they're like, ah, you know, you're right. Okay. And then like,
and how long can a treatment last? Let's say like you say near the end. So they have a certain amount of
so they can vary. Yeah. Depending on the staging or what kind of cancer they have, like, some patients could have up to 38 treatments.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, Monday to Friday. So they come every single day. So you get to know them, and it's important to build a connection with them, because then you have something to talk about to keep their mind off of the fact that they're coming in for cancer treatment. So so you got to like ask them like, oh, you know, like, how was your weekend? And say, I spent it with my kids. Oh, how many kids did you have? Do you have? And then like you kind of remember because you see them every single day and you build a connection, and then they don't feel so sad to come in.
Yeah, of course. They have a little connection. Yeah. They relate with you, and they feel you relate with them, which is also really important.
Yeah, and that's the most satisfying part of the job. Cool. Just.
And how, well, have you, do you know the result sometimes at the end, let's say, at the end of a treatment per se, the person leaves, and like, do you have a
update,
an update on their health, or if they recuperate, or it was successful, or something like that? Or
we don't know about the follow-up, but what we tell them is every patient that finishes treatment, they have a follow-up with their doctor after a couple weeks. And we tell them like, you know, come back and see us, say hi, you know, just to say hi. And a lot of them come back to say hello and tell us that like everything is great, that it's all gone, and they're ready to continue on with life. And so those are the only updates we get. It's when they come back to see us.
Okay.
Do you ever get it like attached to a patient, like, are you really into this story? Or
I've cried. Okay. I've cried saying goodbye when there was like their last one, and I'm like, I'm gonna miss you. Okay. Please. Like, you want them to come back, but like you don't want them to come back, you know? Like,
you want to keep updated and wish them well, of course, because it's part of your job. Because
we share laughs, we share jokes, life stories, we get to know each other, and you know, just it could start off with just talking about traffic, and then from there you build like a bond with them.
Crazy. That's crazy. And how, like, how does that impact your life and everyday life? Like, do you feel it's heavier? Do you have that, let's say, way of cutting out from job and whatever you do, like the other job or home? Do you have a way to split it and say like, okay, this was job, and then, because it has to be heavy. I mean,
it is, yeah. It is mentally draining, but then like when I get home, it continues because I take care of my parents. So my only break is the drive from the hospital to home.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we can talk about your parents, like what is the condition of your dad per se? Like,
so
you say it continues. So
it continues. In 2017, actually the year I graduated and started started my career at the hospital, my dad had a stroke.
Okay.
And it was crazy. It happened in front of me at home.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. He was telling me he was feeling weird. His arm was numb. Mm-hmm. It was like, how long has it been numb? He said 40 minutes. And then I called Info Santé. I said, what do I do? And she's like, are you in front of him? I'm like, yeah. She's like, step away for a second. She says, I think you need to take him to the hospital. Okay. He's probably having a stroke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and it happened right in front of me. And then I was like, okay, Dad, get in the car, hurry up. And I took him to the hospital. And we got him to the hospital in time.
Okay.
They kept him there for a week. They gave him medication. They said he had a mini stroke, like a warning. It's called a TIA.
Okay.
And that was a warning. So they kept him for a week because normally once you have a TIA, in the next couple of days, you have the real stroke.
Okay.
Oh.
So they let him go home on Saturday. And then on Sunday, he had the real stroke.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that sucked because it happened again at home.
Was it faster than the first? Because the first one, it has a kind of a warning, right?
Yeah, like his arm was hurting. But this time it was like instant.
Right away?
Like he couldn't talk properly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Were you there?
Was there. Okay. Yeah.
Well, thankfully, you were there, so you could do something. What did you do in that moment? Like,
well, I was in my room with my sister. We were just talking, being sisters, talking about clothes. Can you borrow this? And do you want that or whatever? And then I just heard my mom like shout because my mom was giving him his medication and he was blabbering. He wouldn't. He couldn't even say proper words.
Okay.
And I guess his brain wasn't able to tell him what he should say.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just babbling.
Okay.
And we went to the living room and I think I had like 20 seconds of like denial because like he just got home, you know?
Yeah.
So it was like 20 seconds of denial and I was like, Dad, what, say something. And like, he obviously can't. And I'm literally staring at him like, say something. And, you know, it was hard. My niece was maybe 12 and she was sitting in the living room.
Oh,
and
okay.
I told her like, go in my room. Yeah. And she had to see her grandfather like that. And then anyway, me and my sister were idiots. We tried to bring him down the stairs instead of calling the ambulance. We're like, we're going to take you.
Okay.
And which you nobody should do that. Yeah. Don't do that. Just call the ambulance and let them take him that way. And then anyway, we got him in the car and then we ended up stopping the police. We saw a police car on the street and we like honking them like crazy ladies. Mm-hmm. And then they ended up calling an ambulance.
Okay.
And then he went and that was a damaging stroke. So now he permanently cannot talk and can't walk. So he's like in a hospital bed at home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So that pushes you to, that's what you said, like you continue, right?
And yeah. So I get home. Yeah.
You take care of your dad. So it continues.
And, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My mom is there full time. Like I told her to, like she retired early because there was the option of putting him in a nursing home was not an option, especially in like my culture, Lebanese culture. We don't do that.
We take care of our elders.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So I told my mom, I'm like, we need someone home with him. He can't feed himself. He can't go to, you know. So she's like, yeah, I'm staying home. And then from that moment, I was like, okay, it's time to get started. Mm-hmm. It's a new life now.
Of course. Yeah. And that's what is going to be my next question. Like, how did, your life changed completely, right?
Yeah.
Like, and how can you tell us a bit more? Like, could you tell us a bit more about how it changed your life? Because it's something really like to see your parents, it has to be difficult. I can just only imagine, like, just to be like seeing him, like, he's fine, and then for a week to another, like, everything changes.
Yeah.
Do you put a lot of pressure on yourself? Like, how do you deal with all that? How do you feel like your life changed from that moment to right now?
Well, it changed a lot, but I think a lot of the responsibility fell on me because I was living at home, right? So I have three siblings. Mm. So by default, if I'm at home with my parents, like, you know, my brother, we lived in NDG and then my brother lived in Vaudreuil. So it was like a really far drive. Yeah. And my other sister was in Laval and, you know, I was at home. So I was the direct person. And, you know, I jumped in. My mom, when he was in the hospital, my dad was in the hospital. After the real stroke, he was in the hospital for about 8 months. He had four brain surgeries.
Wow.
Yeah, so she was like, I'm not going to work. She stayed by his side, even if she had to sleep in a chair. She slept in a chair. Yeah. So then I was at home and I was like, I don't have my mom. I don't have my dad.
Yeah.
And then I just have to like start paying the bills by myself. And
how old were you at that time?
Like, this was in 2017. I can't do math right now. I was 24.
That was 5 years ago, more or less?
I was 24, 16, yeah. 24.
Okay. When it happened. Wow. That's a lot of responsibility for a 24-year-old.
Yeah,
right?
Like,
everything falls on your shoulders.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah. But I work really good under pressure.
Yeah.
I'm the type of person that like waits to the last minute until it's like high pressure and then I do the best work that way. Mm-hmm. I learned as I went, right? So my mom was in the hospital with my dad for 8 months. So then I eventually like with her help, you know, I was like, okay, well, mom, like the bills need to be paid.
Yeah.
And so like I got access. She told me like what bills needed to be paid and I started taking care of everything. And little by little, I kind of had a routine. And then when my mom and my dad came back home, like it was as if nothing was forgotten because like I took care of it, you know?
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Well, respect.
Yeah,
wow.
Seriously.
Thanks.
That's crazy. I mean, from what I hear, like you did great. So keep it up. I know it's a difficult situation, right?
Thank you. Yeah.
I can only imagine, as I said, I haven't like dealt with that. Like, and that's why I was like, she has to come and talk about that.
There's a lot. Yeah.
There's a lot of things. And honestly, I think, you said like not move your dad. Like, it's not a good idea. So if ever it happens, I wish for nobody to have to go through that. Mm-hmm. But at least somebody that hears this knows that, no, call an ambulance.
Yeah, don't try to do what I did. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And, well, you said that you have another job. Was it also to compensate for the money and everything?
So I've always had that part-time job. And when I started at the hospital, the hours, like, weren't guaranteed. Like, you don't go into a hospital job with a position. So I was like on the availability. So when they need me, they schedule me. So I said, you know what? I'll keep my job part-time just to have like a constant flow of money. Mm-hmm. And then I was working a lot at the hospital. So I was just like making money. And I was like, yeah. And I was like super happy. And then my dad had the stroke. So it went from I was working my second job for fun to have extra money for fun to, we have to
you're going to have to stuff together. Responsibilities and like pay the bills and like you said.
Yeah. And so like my mom was getting money while she was on leave because it was like she was a cashier. So she was like, I can't even look at customers in the face. Like she was crying and she's like, I can't do it. So she was on a sick leave. So yeah, some money was coming in, but I organized everything so that we had money for a rainy day.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Wow.
And so, because when things like this happen, you don't know when they're going to happen. So it's better to have a cushion. And
everything happens for a reason. I hear that a lot, right?
Yes.
And it's crazy to see how like having money on the side helped you to go through all those moments. So it's great that you had that money, but not that you had to go through that, but least you could like manage to go through that. And that transition, it's crazy.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone that goes through something similar, per se, having to take care of somebody, family member or somebody near them, like what would you tell them as an advice? Or like if it happened like recently, if somebody's listening to us and say like, okay, what would you tell them? Like,
well, we live in an amazing country that has a lot of benefits. If you do your research, there's a lot of government benefits for caregivers. The CLSC is great. You just have to ask for what you need. You never know what you can get. You just have to ask, get a social worker involved, see what you can get to help me.
Yeah, because and sometimes we feel we're alone in those situations, right? But we, like you said, we're in a country that helps a lot. So,
yeah.
And sometimes they don't know how they can help, but you have to ask for that help.
So. Like Service Canada is like, I was on there every day to find out what we were eligible for, what we can get as assistance. And there is a lot of things that can be helpful. And CLSC as well. Speak to a social worker at CLSC and they can really
help you
and tell you what your rights are. You have the right to have all of these products. This can be delivered to your house, you know.
Wow, that's great. Thank you for sharing all that. And how do you deal with all that, like thinking in the future, let's say, right? You say that you still live with your parents, right?
Well, I used to live with my parents in DG in a duplex, and now they live with me because I bought a house in Vaudreuil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we swapped. Cool. Yeah. We're closer to my brother now, so he's helping.
That's cool.
Okay.
And my mom is with the grandchildren. You know, she gets to see the kids more often. So
good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, just bigger space because an upper duplex and you're in a hospital bed. If I used to panic every day, if there's a fire, how do I get my dad out of the house?
True.
Right.
You know, so now.
Yeah,
it's a better living space.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you make time for yourself? Like you try to keep your like.
Do you have free time?
I do try to make free time. Yeah, I do. Cause then.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go crazy.
You cannot go through all that without having some time for you, right?
Yes, exactly. So you know, before COVID, I did, you know, go on vacation. I went to the Dominican Republic. It was a girls' trip with my best friends and. You know, but then COVID hit and then now it's like, okay, what do I do now? Yeah. And I work in healthcare. So then it added stress to me coming home from the hospital and my dad's situation. Like I didn't touch him for like almost a, like I wouldn't go near him or near my mom. So,
yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Like how did that affect? Because even at your job, you work in a hospital, the COVID situation, all the restrictions, all the. The situation puts so much more pressure to these jobs. Like, well, I can just imagine. Wow, it's crazy. And seeing everything you go through and dealing with your dad and trying to help him, but also not bring the virus.
It's crazy. Well, my mom and I are a good team, you know, because she stays home with him every all the time. So when I would come home, she had like the Lysol ready.
Yeah.
Like anything I touched, she wiped down. So I would go straight to my room, drop my stuff, jump in the shower, and she would disinfect everything I touched. Yeah. And then we felt safe, you know. But I wouldn't hug him, which was hard.
Yeah.
And he can't talk, right? So
the
main communication is like holding his hand and, you know, sign language and stuff like that. Yeah. So.
And how's your mother going? Well, does she take time for her too? Do you try to send her to a spa? I don't know.
Something in the beginning when everything was happening, we kind of forgot that my mom needed a break, you know, until she expressed it to us. She was like, I'm home all the time, you know, and it's her husband, you know, they've been married for 37 years.
Wow.
So it's like, that's her husband and she's looking at him and this is the state that he's in and it breaks her heart too. So I made a deal with my siblings. I'm like, okay. And this again was before COVID. So every week, one kid, we're four kids, right? So every one would take a week and take her out. But we have to be two people, right? So one person has to stay with dad while the other one takes mom.
Yeah,
so it's a I'm pretty good at that. So I scheduled it, and that's like, okay, which week are you taking her out? Which week are you taking her out? And then we were doing that, and she loved it. She was having the time of her life. And then COVID hit, so then that kind of like
stopped brought things project, down. Yeah.
And then when everything opened back up, we started over again until the COVID passport vaccine thing. So. So now we're back to not being able to take her out, but we're figuring things out, you know.
Okay.
We go with the flow. We just figure it out.
It's important for her to have some time also to have a break, if we can say like that.
Take care of her,
Take care of her.
Yeah.
And it's a tough situation, right? And it's crazy when you think about it, when you get married, for better or worse, right? And in those moments, when you can see that she's handling it, right? In the worst situation. So hopefully, well, your dad gets better. We wish you all the best. And
thank you.
We really, like, well, our thoughts are going to be with him.
And thank you.
All good energy for him. And I hope he gets better.
Thank you.
And it's crazy what you're going through. I'm in awe, honestly, like, with everything you do, keep it up. It's demanding, as I see. But you're doing it for family, and that's what I think it's the most important thing, right?
Yeah.
If we don't have family, we don't have anything, and it's crazy. So to see that you're there for your parents, I now that I have a kid, I take care of a kid, you know, and having to take care of our parents is something special too. And always remember that they took care of you when you were younger, right?
So,
and now you're giving it back to your dad, right, and your mom. And keep that in mind. If ever you try to find motivation to continue helping them out, or if you get tired, just remember that they were there also for you.
Yeah.
And keep it up. And we hope he's going to get better soon.
Yeah. And, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing all that. Honestly, it's crazy. I'm pretty sure somebody out there is going to be also touched by the story and motivated to continue if they're going through something similar.
It really puts everything in perspective. Like, you do all this for, like, your family and everything, and the little troubles that some people might have, this and there, it really doesn't compare to, like, what you're going through.
Yeah.
It's like, it puts, like, it motivates me to be like, well, if she's going through all this, she can do this and still keep a smile on.
Right.
Then anybody
can. You have no reason to say that you're tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I imagine you're tired. Now I can't imagine how tired you are right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you kind of get used to it. You have to have a routine. And, like, my mom knows, like, I do everything that she asks me because she doesn't drive, right? So even when I'm home, she can't go do things for herself. So if she needs something from a particular store, I have to go and get it for her. So I have errands all the time. But when I do come home, like, she respects my space. If everything is taken care of, then I'm just, she kind of leaves me in my zone. And then she has her time too. She goes for her walks in the evening. We have a nice routine, a nice schedule. You know, my siblings pitch in. They come in and, you know, they relieve her from the duties, and another one takes her out, or even if it's for a drive or go for an ice
just
cream.
To switch their mindset and just restart to continue, right?
Yeah.
With strength and just keep it up.
Yeah.
That's really nice to hear that you're taking care of her too.
Are you the eldest in your family?
I'm the baby.
Wow. You're the baby.
I'm the baby.
You have to take the reins of the whole situation.
Well, I was the last one to move out, so I kind of by default. But honestly, I think I'm very proud of what I was able to
you
do.
Should, honestly, you
and
should.
I don't know. I think I was meant to do it because I'm doing it very well with a lot of pressure. And if it wasn't intended, if God didn't intend it for me, then I wouldn't have been so successful at you know, doing it. So
And always try to find the strength also, well, in your belief, right? And you well, from now, what I take it, you believe in God.
Yes.
And it's well, keep praying, keep seeking him, and you'll see he's gonna give you the strength to continue. Honestly, it's crazy. I'm just in awe. I know I said it so many times, but I'm really, like, impressed by everything. And and this is what this podcast was meant to be, like, to share stories like this, to motivate people to continue and go on and go on, and see that there are situations, like Victor said, like, we can go through things and we say, like, oh, but there's always, like, situations that somebody's going through that could be worse, right? And these situations also can motivate us. Even if our situation can be worse than what's going on, sharing is what's going to give us the strength to go forward.
Yeah.
That's what I believe, because, like, we didn't go through that, but we can say, like, you know what, like, there's way to continue and move forward and continue and battle and try to do whatever we have to do to go through life, right? And good moments and bad moments. And it makes you also cherish the good moments, right?
Yeah.
And also remember, like, what you've been through and where you're at and what builds up your personality, and always continue in that learning progress, right?
Yeah.
And life, it's a learning continuous, right?
Yeah.
You have to continue. Yeah. And that's how I see it. And I think everybody should see it that way. And listening to those, I can say testimonies, or saying like sharing those experiences, it's crazy, because we just want to wish you all the best and say, like, keep it up. We want to cheer you up. Let's go. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people listening to this podcast will also be like, oh, I would like to give her a hug, or, you know, like, keep it up. High five. COVID, guys, we're not going to give her a hug. But, you know, like, keep it up. Mm-hmm. Give a hug to your dad for us. And we, as I said, we don't know him, but we wish him the best, right? And honestly, like, thank you for sharing again.
No problem.
Yeah. So, I want to also talk about your other job. You said that you work the second job, the part-time job.
It's at a grocery store, IGA.
Okay. And what do you do there?
I work at the deli. Okay. Right now, I'm like an assistant manager. I'm managing a department at a part-time basis because I can't give more time because I'm full-time at the hospital.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was there since I was 16. I was just working part-time while I was in high school. And then I got some responsibilities. And like I said, in between getting into radiation oncology and finishing my social science degree, I worked there full time and I was trained to do like manager's job. And then now they need someone. So I'm kind of filling in a little bit and it's okay.
Meanwhile, they find someone.
I've been there so long that it's not even difficult anymore to work there, and I could make my own schedule. And the people there are like family now.
Yeah,
you know, they know my whole family. They know my mom. They know my dad. Mm-hmm. All the workers there that have been there for a long time. So it's all.
That's great.
When you get good vibes,
to that point that you like. Everybody knows each other. It's a family thing. It's really cool.
Yeah, it helps when you work every single weekend to have people around you that are. Like family.
And I imagine they understand your situation too. So
absolutely,
they can
be
more flexible and everything. So that's That's great. All right. So let's see if we have another question for you, right? Meanwhile, Victor does that. Well, we like to talk about everything here, right? Mm-hmm. But if ever I tell you, okay, you have all the time, like let's say 2-3 weeks free of commitments and everything, what would you like to do? You said you don't have that much free time, right? But if ever I can magically tell you, okay, drink this water and this water is going to give you time for 3 weeks. And then at the end of those 3 weeks, you come back and you're here, right?
Okay.
Like, what would you do in those 3 weeks of time? You can travel, you can do whatever you want. Like, money is not like an issue. Mm-hmm. Let's say 3 weeks, what do you do?
I would sleep without setting an alarm. First things first, that would be nice. And then I would probably want to travel anywhere with a beach where I can just literally relax all
day.
Sleep
on the beach.
Yes, exactly. That's my kind of vibe. So,
Cool.
And just swim in the water, just relax and give my body a break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I would do something like that too. But at the end of a day, like at the beach, I get bored. So I would have to find another activity to do. But yeah, I'm also, I don't know, I like to move. I like to do activities.
Yeah.
Right? So I would do something like that, you know, near a beach, something warm, but not too warm, you know, cold at nights and sleep well, you know.
That's what
I would like to find a place to go, maybe 2-3 weeks, then come back.
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
I thought a very family-oriented question.
Okay, like, here we go.
What is your most favorite family tradition that you have? Or do you have any?
There's a few. But one that's really touching, actually, ever since my dad got sick, we used to have our own lives. And then when he got sick, everybody just merged together. Like, we became way closer as a family.
Okay.
And one of our favorite, well, one of my personal, like, wow, I love my family moments is when we're like all together at my house for a birthday or any kind of celebration, any holiday, we would put music and we would all kind of just like make my dad laugh. We would dance around his bed. The hospital bed is like right in the middle of the living room. Like he has the whole living room. That's his spot.
Mm-hmm.
And he has his TV. He has everything. And we would just kind of like all dance around him. And he would kind of like wave his hands as if he's dancing with us. And that's like my all-time favorite moments. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Family time. It's always great. Right?
Yeah.
It's something that we have to cherish a bit more. Like I, mm-hmm. I said before, even like with COVID, sometimes we were always like, before COVID, we were putting excuses sometimes not to spend time with the family, being like, oh, mm-hmm. I don't have time, I have to do this or whatever. And sometimes, like, I think I'm guilty. Okay, I have that. I've done that. Like, sometimes when you're too tired to go out, you know, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, you know what? Like, I have something to do. And like, no, I cannot. Like, I cannot afford, like, using my energies to go to this whatever. Like, not yeah. a birthday party, but something like gathering or something like
yeah.
that. I didn't feel it was, like, not important, but, you know, that I was like, there's always another day that we can celebrate or something, you know? And then COVID hit and you're like, oh,
I wish I would have.
I wish I would have been
there. Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, we have to share those moments and try to spend time with our family members or friends, with close ones, and try to be careful with all that, right? And try to take the time, to make the time for them, right?
Yeah.
Honestly, well, I'm really grateful that you shared all this. And for real, it makes me cherish even more my family. Like, if ever, like, I have to think about all that, and I'm like, wow, no, I want to spend time with my family too, be more there with them, and try to, and I try to put myself in that situation, like what would I do, right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people listening are gonna do that too, right? I'm gonna be like, wow, what would I do if that happens? You know, and, like, it's crazy when you think about it, and we never know how we will react to kind of situations, difficult situations in life.
Mm-hmm.
So if ever that happens to someone, stay strong, try to keep it up, try to be smiling, try to find joy in all those situations. I know it's difficult, but you seem to be someone joyful. So that's what I get from your, from seeing you and how you are and how you talk. And don't ever lose that. Try to always keep that up, right? That spirit of being joyful and share that story, like share your story, which makes it, your story, your family story, and it's special. And I think a lot of people can benefit from hearing from you, right?
Yeah.
Like I've said before, we try to bring people in sharing those kind of stories, because I think there is always a hero nearby, and I can consider you as a hero for your family. And honestly, continue. They're not always wearing caps, right?
Yeah.
Or capes, I mean.
Yeah.
And but you're one of a human hero that I can be grateful that I met, and I heard your story, and honestly, like, thank you for sharing.
Thank you for having me.
It's crazy. Yeah, so thank you again. Thank you, Victor, as always, for being with us.
No problem.
And it's been a pleasure, and we will be waiting for you on another episode, another day. Thank you for being with us, and we hope you guys enjoyed it too. So see you on the next one. Hasta la próxima. Thank you all again.
Hasta la próxima. Thank you.
Bye-bye.